wasn't, he felt, a good king, but he'd had a lifetime of working hard at being something he wasn't cut out to be, and he was persevering. As far as he could see, none of his predecessors had tried at all. So much to do, so much to repair, so much to organise. On top of it all, there was the problem with the Duchess. Somehow, he'd felt moved to put her in a decent cell, in an airy tower. She was a widow, after all. He felt he ought to be kind to widows. But being kind to the Duchess didn't seem to achieve much. She didn't understand it. She thought it was just weakness. He was dreadfully afraid that he might have to have her head cut off. No, being a king was no laughing matter. He brightened up at the thought. There was that to be said about it. And after a while, he fell asleep. The Duchess was not asleep. She was currently halfway down the castle wall on a rope of knotted sheets, having spent the previous day gradually chipping away the mortar around the bars of her window, although, in truth, you could hack your way out of the average Loughborough castle wall with a piece of cheese. The fool! He'd given her cutlery and plenty of bedclothes. That was how these people reacted. They let their fear do their thinking for them. They were scared of her. Even when they thought they had her in their power, and the weak never had the strong in their power, never truly in their power. If she'd thrown herself in prison, she would have found considerable satisfaction in making herself regret she'd ever been born. But they'd just given her blankets and worried about her. Well, she'd be back. There was a big world out there, and she knew how to pull the levers that made people do what she wanted. She wouldn't burden herself with a husband this time either. Weak? He was the worst of them. No courage in him to be as bad as he knew he was, inside. She landed heavily on the moss, paused to catch her breath, and then, with the knife ready in her hand, slipped away along the castle walls and into the forest. She'd go all the way down to the far border and swim the river there, or maybe build a raft. By morning, she'd be too far away for them ever to find her, and she doubted very much that they'd ever come looking. Weak! She moved through the forest with surprising speed. There were tracks, after all, wide enough for carts, and she had a pretty good sense of direction. Besides, all she needed to do was go downhill. If she found the gorge, then she just had to follow the flow. And then there seemed to be too many trees. There was still a track, and it went more or less in the right direction, but the trees on either side of it were planted rather more thickly than one might expect. And when she tried to turn back, there was no track at all behind her. She took to turning suddenly, half expecting to see the trees moving, but they were always standing stoically and firmly rooted in the moss. She couldn't feel a wind, but there was a sighing in the treetops.
"All right," she said under her breath. "All right, I'm going anyway. I want to go, but I will be back."
It was at this point that the track opened out into a clearing that hadn't been there the day before and wouldn't be there tomorrow. A clearing in which the moonlight glittered off assembled antlers and fangs and serried ranks of glowing eyes. The weak, banded together, can be pretty despicable. But it dawned on the Duchess that an alliance of the strong can be more of an immediate problem. There was total silence for a few seconds, broken only by faint panting, and then the Duchess grinned, raised her knife, and charged at the lot of them. The front ranks of the massed creatures opened to let her pass, and then closed in again. Even the rabbits. The kingdom exhaled. On the moors, under the very shadow of the peaks, the mighty nocturnal chorus of nature had fallen silent. The crickets had ceased their chirping, the owls had hooted themselves into silence, and the wolves had other matters to attend to. There was a song that echoed and boomed from cliff to